All right, welcome in everybody to another Wednesday edition here of Locked On Bills. Nate, Gary, John, Shannon here with you. So, I'm sorry, I called you John. It's really Jason. But
you know what's funny though? When my dad hears this, he's gonna think that he got a shout out.
Wow. So technically, you are John in a former life, essentially.
Yeah.
Well, Jason, we have an interesting topic today, an interesting position group to go over. The linebacker position group. Obviously, last week we dove into the exterior, the outside of the defensive line. The week before that, the interior. Now we get to the part of the defense that I think we were talking about right before we got on, about how the position, specifically the Mike linebacker in this defense last year, Preston Brown played in all 16 games, led the league in tackles. So a pretty good year. UFA, you'd think, well, it's a no-brainer. You re-sign Preston Brown. But at times, you know, what we were talking about is Preston is one of those guys that he really gets the job done on the field. Like the statistics speak for themselves, but at the same time, he does lack that ability, that athletic ability, that top end speed, the covering ability, some of the stuff that you really need to have being the Mike linebacker and a Sean McDermott type defense. Preston Brown is lacking in some of those areas. Now, he's very sound defensively, especially as a run stopper. Where you start to worry about Preston is in the pass game. And at times last year, teams were able to exploit Preston behind him in the zone. And that was the one thing I've been worried about with him and sort of that Tampa 2, especially when they went Tampa 2 looks. He was getting just – teams were picking on him in the Tampa 2. And I think that's a defense that Leslie Frazier likes to roll with a lot. So it's something that they need to look at upgrading. But I think that when you look at this list of free agents that we're going to go over here shortly, the inside linebacker position isn't the deepest. There are some names that you've mentioned you wouldn't mind seeing the Bills take a look at, but in terms of Preston Brown, where are you on him, Jason?
I think if I looked at this, just putting him in the list of players that are available, I mean, I think he's pretty high up at this point. I think a big decision on him is going to be what other teams think of him, whether they look at, you know, 144 tackles tied for league lead and decide, you know, this is a franchise middle linebacker, best linebacker on our team. I'm not sure that he's worth $8 million. I think he might be worth $5 million. I think he's a good player to have in your team. I think he's a non-liability, definitely in run stop when you have him on our team. The thing I worry about with a lot of these guys are coming off of their first deals, and those guys like to get paid. It obviously helps that he was on our team for a number of years. Maybe we get a discount. Maybe he liked his time here. He actually seemed to really like his time here and, you know, publicly puts out on Twitter that he'd like to stay. You know, I think it's going to come down to what kind of number the Bills get him down to. But I think if you're looking for an improvement on Preston Brown, you're going to either have to go to the rookie market or you're going to have to pay a big number, because I think the only guys ahead of him on the free agent list are guys that are going to get paid.
Yeah, interestingly enough, the thing with Preston Brown and the market is you mentioned the draft, and I just think unfortunately the Bills are in a position where, you know, it's of my opinion, I think they are in the market to trade up, and I think they're in the market to package the two first-round picks they have this year in order to move up to take their franchise quarterback. And knowing that sort of takes you out of the running for the two, in my opinion, two top middle linebackers that can play the position the way that Sean McDermott wants him to play. And the first guy that comes to mind is Raekwon Smith from Georgia. He's really – there's no way he ends up making it to day two of the draft unless something happens pre-draft. And so my thought is, well, if you can't utilize a first-round draft pick on a middle linebacker this year, how – and who is going to take over that role? And to me, the most obvious answer is Preston Brown. I think he knows the defense. You know what you're going to get from him. I think if they can put in a situation where Preston is more on first and second down and finding a more athletic guy to play next to Matt Milano on third down and in nickel looks, I think you've got something there. But I think now that the emergence of Matt Milano has really created a little bit more flexibility for this team than they did before Matt Milano's emergence. Matt Milano being a legitimate NFL player, it was so huge for this team. Not only that, but being a guy that can play the defense and sort of be the guy in passing situations that they simply didn't have on the roster.
Yeah, I mean, that helps a lot considering, we were playing a lot of Lorenzo sort of moving around. And then Ramon Humber, who, you know, must be a real practice guy because, you know, two straight regimes basically said that this was a guy that we might be able to start. That's definitely worth being on the team. even as a guy that's sort of bounced around. And it, you know, we basically saw Humber and Milano there in the same position, and Milano was clearly better as a rookie, just a more versatile player, and that helps a lot. And I think that definitely takes a little bit of maybe how much weight we have to put on linebacker in this offseason. Obviously, the Preston Brown decision is going to make a huge difference as far as that goes.
Yeah, and let's go through some of the other names that are still currently on the roster. You mentioned Lorenzo Alexander. He's under contract for another year. This year, he'll have a $3.6 million cap hit, which will be an interesting situation moving forward because they aren't owed a ton of dead cap money to him, less than $1 million of dead cap money. So Lorenzo Alexander, for me, is a clear target for potentially a cap casualty moving into the season. But he does bring that leadership element. He does bring that special team element. And I think towards the end of the year, they figured out how to maximize the usage of Lorenzo Alexander. And that's really as a pass rusher with his hand in the dirt. He simply, at this point in his career, doesn't have the speed, athleticism, or, in my opinion, the wherewithal to play the strong side linebacker position on an every down basis. Lorenzo, there is no doubt that Lorenzo Alexander still has value on this football team. I just don't think it's at the strong side position. I think it's somehow on third down as a third down specialist. This is still a guy that is going to be your best special teams player. So at $3.6 million, his number is interesting. I would think that he is an obvious candidate for that cap casualty. Matt Milano, obviously a name we just brought up, going into year two of his rookie contract, a just tremendous rookie season, a guy that I expect to have big things from in year two. Tanner Vallejo, the other guy, really going into this training camp, I remember hearing a lot about how the team really liked how Tanner looked at the strong side position. I thought that he was going to get a run for his money for Gerald Hodges and for Ramon Humber as well, but it turned out to be Milano midway through the season that really kind of took that position over. The two other guys, Nordley Cappy, that's Cap Cappy, he's really a defensive end in this system. He's listed as an outside linebacker, but he is a pass rushing defensive end. And Deion Lacy, the other guy who is really more of a pass rusher, outside linebacker, but also gives you that special teams.
He's a special teams guy. I think he only played 8 to 10 snaps last year.
Right. Not a guy that played a lot of meaningful defensive snaps.
Yeah, they don't see him as the answer right there.
Yeah, so those are the guys that are currently on the roster. So you're definitely seeing there could be a potential need at the outside linebacker position, the strong side outside linebacker position, if they do decide to go ahead and move on from Lorenzo Alexander. But some of the names on the inside that I wanted to focus on that are currently free agents, there isn't a long list of these names on the inside, unfortunately. The majority of the players on this list are coming on the outside. Two guys that pop off the sheet right away, former Bill 2 years ago, Zach Brown. He's listed as an inside linebacker, considered more of a 3-4 inside linebacker, a 4-3 outside linebacker. But this is a guy that can play both positions, and he's an interesting name. DeMario Davis. Talk about those two a little, Jason.
Yeah, I think both of them are kind of in the same place right now. Both came off of, I think, consecutive productive seasons. Certainly Zach Brown was good while he was here. And had another pretty good season in Washington.
127 tackles in 13 games isn't bad at all.
No, it's not. And, you know, he's been signing these one-year deals to try to get a big payday. And so he's going to be a person looking for that, but I don't know that he's put himself at the reputation of being a guy that's going to get a mega deal. He didn't get one last year, so I'm not sure about that. And then DeMario Davis, sort of the same sort of player, highly productive, played the left inside linebacker for Jets in their 3-4 last year, 133 tackles, 5 sacks. He would be a guy that would start for us, but I think he's going to be the guy that gets big money this year. And at 29 years old, this is really his last chance to. But as far as a fit goes, if we go look for him, I would definitely be in favor of making him a Bill.
Yeah, there's a couple of lesser known names I want to kind of go through now. The first guy that pops out into me on this list is Christian Jones. He's an inside linebacker from Chicago, 26 years old. So another young guy, 16 games, played in all 16 last year, had finished the season with 89 tackles. So that's a name that maybe you haven't heard of, but is younger and could potentially provide them a more of a value signing, like a Poyer, or like a that's really the guy that kind of pops out to me is Jordan Poyer. Is can they find the linebacker version of Jordan Poyer this year? That's going to be a position I think that they need to find someone on a veteran minimum level or a a lower type contract that they can have come in and be effective. The other couple names that we talked about before we got on, John Bostic, another younger guy, 26 years old, 14 games, 98 tackles last year for Indianapolis. We'll get more on him in a second. And then the other guy that really sort of stuck out to me was Avery Williamson, inside linebacker, Tennessee, 25 years old, played in all 16 games, just a shy under 92 tackles. So he's another guy. And interestingly enough, there is a market value tab here on SpotTrack for Avery Williamson, that inside linebacker. And he's they're talking about potentially $9 million for Avery Williamson. So he's a name that I'd potentially look at if the Bills see and feel at his age. He's the same age as Preston Brown. But does Avery Williamson offer that sideline to sideline sort of athleticism that they simply don't have in Preston Brown? That'll be the question for me.
Yeah, I think he, as far as I remember him being more an athlete than Preston Brown is. And his coverage numbers is, you know, if grades are your thing, they certainly came out better. Out of all linebackers, Avery Williamson was ranked 10th by PFF last year. So I think that partly goes into where his market value is, especially as a 25-year-old too. He's another guy that's going to be trying to get paid. And I think that his reputation might be at or more than Preston Brown is at. But, you know, it depends on what you think of tackle numbers. But, yeah, Williamson's 92 tackles, 3 sacks last year, 4 QB hits, 2 forced fumbles. That's a pretty good-looking season for him. And, you know, the word is that he's going to be one of the higher-paid guys here. So, again, you have to weigh out whether you want to pay $2, $3 million more for Avery Williamson or whether you want to roll with Preston Brown, a guy who knows the system at this point, who likes being in Buffalo.
Right.
You know, there's – you have to weigh all of those things out. I don't know that I would feel like our team got a lot better by spending a huge, you know, amount of cash and cap number on Avery Williamson.
To me, it's all about how Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean see him as a fit in this defense. In my opinion, he was the one guy on this list I highlighted as a potential scheme fit, as a guy, excuse me, that can come in and sort of bring you that athleticism, that speed, that covering ability that simply Preston Brown doesn't provide. Let's talk a little bit more, Jason, now about the outside linebacker position, a position that can get a little confusing when you're up on SpotTrack or you're up on a website looking at potential outside linebacker fits, and some names might pop out at you. But you have to realize, too, a lot of these outside linebackers are 3-4 outside linebackers, meaning that for the most part, they have their hand in the ground and they are rushing the passer. So knowing that we won't be talking about any 3-4 pass rushing outside linebackers, the first two guys that pop out on the screen, two guys that have market values fairly high. We'll start with the first one, Tahir Whitehead, outside linebacker, 27-year-old from Detroit, in 16 games last season, had 110 tackles, has a market value, however, of about $8.6 million. So that's a pretty high spend for an outside linebacker. The other guy, another former Bill, Nigel Bradham, 28 years old, played in 15 games, 88 tackles. But these two guys, Jason, and Nigel Bradham's, I'll add, is market value someplace around the high $5 million range. So two guys that are going to bring the athleticism, that are going to bring the boom, but they also may do bring the boom to the pocketbooks as well if they have any intention of signing an outside linebacker, which at this point, I would say it's not looking that way simply because of the emergence of Matt Milano and them still having Lorenzo Alexander on the roster.
Yeah, I think an outside linebacker is really going to depend on whether, you know, basically what they think of Alexander, whether they think he can actually play at the SAM, whether they're going to keep him at all. I would love to have him on the team. The guy loves playing special teams, but I'm not sure about his fit in the actual defense. And with that cap number, it's going to be interesting. Whitehead's got a huge reputation and puts it up every year. And at this point, you know, the market value says he's going to get paid. And I don't disagree with that. Even not seeing him as a Bill, I think that Nigel Bradham would be a pretty great fit for this defense if he was able to.
I think he'd be a spectacular fit. To me, though, is he a fit off the field? Is he a character fit for the team? That's, to me, the biggest question.
Yeah, I think that maybe that crept into some of the reluctance to bring him back in the first place when they had the decision the first time around. But these are also different guys. But at the same time, Bean and McDermott tend to put heavy emphasis on on character and how they're going to fit with the team. But he has teammates that are still here. I don't know on what terms he left, but since he did left, He went and won a Super Bowl, and he's played pretty great football and looks like an even better version, you know, a 15% better version, sort of the optimized version of what I was hoping that Nigel Bradham could be had we re-signed him.
The other guy that I forgot to mention that just kind of caught my eye at the inside linebacker position, a guy that I thought maybe would have a tough time fitting, is Navarro Bowman, the 29-year-old. He'll be 30 this year, played in 15 games last year between both San Francisco and Oakland. They registered 128 tackles, 2 sacks, and 6 quarterback hits. So he's had a nice season last year, headed into his 30th of age 30. That's the only thing that maybe sticks out to me. But the other thing that really sticks out about Bowman is, can he be a 4-3 Mike linebacker? And I have serious, serious questions about that, coming from really his whole career playing in the 3-4 in that inside linebacker position. Just much when you're considering a linebacker that's playing in the 3-4, and this is maybe what gets lost about people when you're trying to compare linebackers, inside linebackers that play in the 3-4 compared to the 4-3, it's not as obvious as the outside guy, because the outside guy in a 4-3 is standing up and is considered a pass defender in most cases, where you know, a pass rusher is really that 3-4 outside linebacker. For the inside linebacker, you know, as a middle linebacker, you're really sort of focused on one side, your side of the center. When you go to a 4-3, you are the middle linebacker. You are controlling right and the left side and the right side of the center. So it becomes a little bit different, and I worry about at his age whether Bowman could be that guy, but he's definitely going to be a guy that's going to get a nice contract in this offseason.
Yeah, especially because he had to take that short deal after whatever the mystery
injury was, right?
That injury release that he got from the 49ers, and they really could have used him because he played well last year. Well, I mean, maybe it wouldn't have mattered. They weren't making the playoffs anyways. But he had himself a really great season. But, yeah, I agree in terms of, I think when you're looking at a multi-Pro Bowl, all-pro sort of player in his past, at 30 years old who's never really played the scheme that we have right now, I would be really worried about spending any sort of capital towards him. I would definitely look elsewhere, and I think that they probably will too.
Yeah, and you know, it's unfortunate because the Bills simply just don't have a ton of money to spend. It's sort of the situation that they're in that personally I think Doug Whaley put them in. Doug Whaley put them in a really difficult situation for the future in terms of flexibility. Brandon Bean has done his best to curb that. However, that in the short term here won't be much help to this team in the long term. However, flexibility. This is a team that could have as much as $100 million in cap space in 2 years based on current contracts and expiring dead cap contracts that are still on the team's record. So right now we're looking at about $29.2 million. That's currently with the likes of Tyrod Taylor on the roster, and as well as Eric Wood's name still on the roster without it being a dead cap hit yet. And you still have names like Jerry Hughes, who we talked about as a potential cut candidate, and Lorenzo Alexander is a potential cut candidate. So, and Cordy Glenn, something could happen with him too. That's an extra $3 million. He's going to count 11 against you on the cap if you get rid of him next year, but that 14 and a half that he's due won't count against you. So it's interesting to see what they're going to do salary cap wise, but the team is going to be hampered a little bit. It's why the conversation about the quarterback is such a volatile one, but we'll get into more of that next week, because we are going to talk corners next week, because as much as I still want to get to the offensive side of the ball, there's still more to talk about defensively, which maybe is the most stunning part about this, Jason, is like, this is a team that I think you can maybe say, you know, really sharpened their nails over on the defensive side of the ball. And you have a ton of expiring contracts, but you have a lot of guys that you feel like maybe you can move on from. But there's a lot of holes to fill defensively for a unit that played so well together last year.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's just really hard to tell how they feel about certain players, whether they thought that certain guys were a one-year plug or whether they thought that they were sort of a long-term fit, whether they took EJ Gaines because they thought this guy could play decently this year and then we're just going to move on from him, or, you know, whether they thought, well, maybe this is going to be a guy that we're going to look at long term, whether they, you know, decided that they were going to keep and start Ramon Humber at the beginning of the year because they really liked him, or because he was a guy that was here and maybe they can just figure out how to make it work. So it's really hard to tell what kind of strategy they're going into it just from their first offseason, sort of as a regime, because you still don't have a really good feel of who their type of players are,
right?
What they're trying to do, because, you know, there were so many short-term fixes. they might go for some surprises, though. You know, the top of this linebacker list, when I go through this linebacker list, it looks very top heavy in terms of free agents go. But again, like you said, they signed Jordan Poyer to pretty much a starting safety salary without a whole lot of production to go off of. They trusted their scouting, and they felt like that was a guy that was going to be a perfect fit, and they turned out to be correct with it.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at a guy like Micah Hyde making $6.8 million, and you think about his production value, and you're like, wow, I mean, they got great production out of him. And I mean, really, you could say the same about Poyer. I mean, Poyer's on the books for $3.87 this year, $8.75. Like, that is such a great,
yeah,
just great value for a really good starting player. So that's where, and I think the point too that you made about, you know, this really truly is the first offseason that Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott have working together. So yeah, I'm interested to see what they do and who they sort of, because this is an organization that said, listen, don't get ready for a lot of big spending in free agency. So I assume this is going to be a team that signs a lot of mid-level players because they have holes to fill. All right, so that's going to do it for us, Jason. Any last word on the linebacker position?
No, I think it's going to be one where we either see a big splash, where we make a big DeMario Davis or Avery Williamson or somebody like that move, or we're going to see it filled with a couple guys that people haven't heard of, and we're going to have to play the wait-and-see approach on it.
Yeah, I would think that it's going to come down to either Preston Brown. It's either going to be Preston Brown or another veteran, and it's going to be about whether or not the familiarity is enough to keep Preston Brown around. All right, so for Jason Shannon, Nate Geary, that'll do it for us on our Wednesday edition of Locked on Bills. You can check us out. I'm at Twitter, at Nate Geary, WGR. Jason, where can the people find you?
I'm at Jason to the.
And that's up on Twitter, so check us out there, and of course at LockedOnBills.com. So until next week, when we break down the cornerback situation for the Bills, this has been another edition of Locked on Bills.